A very warm welcome to the official BKB podcast. And this week, talking to the one and only Indian Spice, Dan Chapman. Hi, Dan, how are we doing?
Hey, Tom, how are you, champ? Okay?
Good, man. Good. Absolutely good. So, living in Spain and living the life?
Well, I live a simple life, Tom, you know. I'm very blessed to have good work here with teaching boxing. You know, apart from fighting, I'm also a full-time coach. So, for me, Tom, it's a blessing I can do it in Spain. I fell into Spain many, many moons ago to come here for my training and for the sparring with MPK back in the day. So for me now, it's my home. And I absolutely love living here, you know, training in the sun every day. What more can a man ask for?
Oh, 100%. Just before you're fighting Isha Smith in probably the biggest fight ever BKB's had. We'll come to that in a moment. Just a little bit, though, just for you as a glove boxer. I mean, you fought as an amateur. Interestingly, I think you fought for Wales when you're the national champion. You were national
champion. Yeah, I won.
And I think, didn't you fight for England and GB?
I was a full-time elite athlete for Wales, Team Wales. And because I went on to win, you know, 10 to 12 national titles and a senior title and a Youth Commonwealth Games with Wales. And then I got invited to be full-time with Team GB, preparing for the 2012 Olympic Games. So obviously, most of my life, I've trained as a full-time athlete 3-4 times a day the last 20 years. So for me, it's just a pleasure now that I can give back to the sport of boxing after my accident and show people how good I am. And I've continued to do that with every fight. You know, as you know, Tom, I'm giving away serious weight. I'm fighting big, big guys. You know, I've been fighting the likes of James Kennelly, you know, Sean George. They are massive compared to me. And I'm beating them. You know, James Kennelly has gone on to be a world champion. Sean George was a previous multiple world champion. And then the ones who pulled out for me on the fights leading up to big fights, I've knocked them out. So for me now, the big test here is against Itchy Smith, a former glove world champion. And what a great way to show my skills against someone with his pedigree also.
I mean, he's got a great pedigree. And but you know, one of the things that's always stood out about yourself, without blowing smoke up your backside, is your ability to, the movement is key. Your feet, you're dancing around, and you know, I'm old school. If they can't see you, they can't hit you.
Exactly. I've lived by that motto a long time, Tom. You know, you can't hit what you can't see. And my coach, old boxing coach, showed me, you know, the name of the game is hit to not get hit. And I become very good at that. And for me, it's super important that, like, when it comes to putting BKB on the map, I've definitely done that, you know, against the short fight against Sean George. That's the only bare knuckle video on YouTube that has hit over 3 million views. Now, not even BKFC have done that. And they've got, you know, a phenomenal funding behind them. And that fight, everybody, you know, good and bad, wherever you want to look at it, but it was the perfect display of how to hit and not get hit against a tough, tough veteran, against Sean George, against someone who's a high skill class, masterclass mover and boxer. And it showed that, you know, they say, can a boxer always beat a fighter? In that fight, they showed the kids that it could very easily.
I can remember, and I'm a big fan of Sean George as a fighter. But he wanted you to stand and trade blows, but you just danced, you just danced around, which is the game. Don't get hit.
Well, of course, BKB stands for bare knuckle boxing. So for me, Tom, I it's not about that. Even when I fought Sean George, Tom, I had three full camps for him because he obviously, for his personal reasons, he pulled out. So when I look back at the fight also, it was a very comfortable win. You know, I won every round very easily. He had points taken off him for biting the headbutting, etc. And there's parts of that fight where I even thought that I knew that I was still going into that fight. I had overtrained, Tom, because I didn't know when Sean was going to be back fighting. So I stayed fit. So I done camp. He pulled out. I done another camp. He pulled out. I done another camp. He pulled out. And fought in between that. So I hadn't had a break over a year and a half, 2 years. I trained through the full pandemic and fought in the pandemic and bought straight in after the pandemic. So for me was that in part of that fight, even though it was a fantastic display of boxing, there's many times in our fight where I look back and I thought, oh, why did I do that? There's times where I wobbled him and I just took a step back and I moved. Where in that fight, even though I was fit and I was fast, I'd lost all my spike, Tom. So for me is that, again, you know, when I had the fights then after that, I wanted to show people that, I can box, I can fight, I can stand toe-to-toe if I wanted to. Like, a lot of people don't understand that the only fight out of the five Benekle fights that I've had, only once I've gone on the back foot and moved, and that was against Sean George. The rest I knocked out. James Kennelly, I went forward for the full fight. You know,
that was prize fighter, wasn't it? That was prize fighter.
Yeah, Martin Thorne, I knocked him out with a jab. Spence, you know, took him to school, just showed him all the movement, all the distractions, all the skills, took him out. And then I went on to beat Pico Martinez and had one of the best knockouts you probably see in bare knuckle. You know, apart from Sean George, have had a fantastic knockout. Daniel Llewell have had great knockouts. But that was like a delayed reaction, and it was great to watch on TV, you know, the shot over the top with the right hand over his jab. So for me is that, you know, I've showed many versions of Dan Chapman. So for me, as people say, Dan is hit and run. And it worked, like, you know, against Sean George, I had a game plan, and I was still, and it was very comfortable when he hit me once in the whole fight, or twice in the whole fight. I was 7 rounds of bare knuckle. So for me, it just shows that I didn't just break Sean physically, I broke him mentally first. And I know for a fact that Sean will always look back at that fight, and I will haunt him because of the way he behaved, his actions before the fight, after. And even today, he's still bitter to today. Now, against my last fight against Sean George, he's playing up in Nando's, and I was just laughing at him. You know, so again, I'm still in his head, and I've forgotten about Sean George a long time ago. You know what I mean? So there we go.
Sadness, really, for me, because you're a great boxer. Sean's been a great champion. So, but you know, let's be on the positive here. One of the things that always sticks in my mind is, why haven't we seen over the years more of Dan Chapman? Why haven't you fought more?
No, I've had a struggle. I said to Jim and Joe, I've beaten all the tough guys. Like, why do, like, you got to understand is that I'm not going to break my, I break my hands every fight. So I'm not stepping in the ring unless you get me good opposition. It's as simple as that. And if they want BKB to grow, they need to make the best fights. Because it's great fighting this and fighting that. Like, again, they've asked for the Barry Jones fight. I'd fight Barry Jones tomorrow, but at my weight. And then when it comes to making decisions at my weight, they don't want to fight me. So I've given away every fight. I've given away weight. The only person who I've ever fought at my weight was Martin Thorne, and he was still 3 kilos heavier than me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When I weighed in against Tito Martin, the weigh-in was made at 66 kilo. He came in 68.9. Come on, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still giving away a lot of weight, like, you know, and people don't understand, you know, like, I am naturally a 63, 64 fighter. I'm eating like 6 meals a day. Like, I'm eating all the time. I'm eating, drinking, just to get the weight on. And I'm fighting these guys. And it's hard because, you know, weight is a massive advantage in boxing. And because people look at my skill, I get that. And I'm a very talented fighter. I get that. But you don't see anybody in BKB. Who's giving away 2 stone in weight? Nobody.
Well, to be fair, you don't give away that much weight in anywhere, because that difference could be the difference. But, you know,
when I fought Kennelly, I weighed with ankle weights around my waist, 14 kilos of ankle weights around my waist, with keys and phones in my pocket. You understand? James Kennelly is 6'1". I am 5'6". Do you understand? So every you look at the fight, everybody's bigger than me. Obviously, I'm in shape all year round. I train really hard. I start camp the way most people finish their camp, which that's another a psychology thing that I have with most of the fighters. So for me is, I enjoy that, but people don't understand, you know, it's not, if I had gloves on, I'll fight any man at any weight, Tom. Weight does not bother me. But in bare knuckle, it's one shot, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
One shot, my eyebrows on the canvas, my jaws crossed, my face, my hands are broke. People do not understand, you know. They say, Dan Chapman, I need to fight. Yeah, but I'll fight the big bad boys. Come and fight me on my weight.
Every day. Fair enough.
Even this fight, even this fight doesn't benefit me in a way, because Ishii Smith has come from 75 kilo.
Yeah.
Easily, you know, so he's going to make 69. I'm nowhere near 69, but I'll be 69 on the day. I weigh with all my clothes on, etc., or a couple of phones in my pocket. But what I'm trying to say is that I want the names. And you've got the other companies like BKFC bringing the big names together. I fought all in on the big names in the house. I've beaten James Kennelly, Sean George. Now for me is, let's get the big names in, drag people in, big names, and that's what I want.
It's funny you should say that, because last time I spoke to you at the O2, you said, yeah, from now on you want to fight the big names. Well, Ishii Smith's big enough, isn't he?
Of course he is. I've been nagging this. Tom, I asked for his fight last summer. He pulled out 3 times. You know, so for me is, again, I people ask me, why am I fighting? One, I'm only fighting if it's a big name, and two, they keep pulling out. You know, the likes of people stepping in last minute. No, where were the guys stepping in last minute? If they really wanted to fight me, and they stay fit, as they do, as they train every single day, when people have pulled out against me, Ishii Smith pulled out 3 times, Sean George pulled out 3 times. Who are the ones who stepped in? Spence, Vito, do you understand?
Yes,
I can't help. And that's not my fault that those guys stepped in. Jim asked everybody in a home stable, can anybody step in to fight? All of them said no. Every single one of them. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So when
it's tough then. I've seen it before in glove boxing where, you know, some fighters can't get fights.
Mate, Tom, it's not an excuse. Mate, if you ask me to fight tomorrow, Tom, I'm ready.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
For me, people don't understand, you know, when people say about the bare knuckle scene and you want to do well with your career, you have to understand that if Jim asked me to fight tomorrow, I say, Jim, I'm ready to fight. What is your excuse?
Yeah.
Do you understand? So when people are trying to say, oh, I want to fight with Dan, I went, well, yeah, you've had about 5 times the chance to fight me, and you didn't step in. You and I, if you're reasonably fit, Tom,
yeah,
and someone steps out and you've got 4 or 5 weeks, that's more than enough time. We're not gloved fighters. We haven't come from, you know, we're from world champion backgrounds, you know. Most fighters in a pro game don't even have 5 weeks for a camp. So what Jim and Joe do really well is that, to be fair, they give us plenty of time to prepare to our preparation for the fights. But when someone pulls out, you know, be on standby, you know, someone step in. And for me, on those times, I was meant to fight another Brazilian, and that's when Tito stepped in, to be fair. And I take my hat off to people like Tito, who had no bare knuckle experience, but stepped in. He said yes to make the fight happen. I'd done a 10-week camp.
But in them situations, Dan, Jim's brilliant at the matchmaking and Joe, but what you can't do is when somebody steps in, you're on a no-win, aren't you? You're on a no-win situation because...
It makes me... When these things happen, Tom, I get really upset because, like, you've got to understand, I'm at the point in my career now where I can't be fighting people who I know I'm going to beat. And these ones might think they can beat me, but I know, what am I going to get from beating someone who has no background of anything behind them? And I'm thinking, I'm just going to break my hands and people are just going to say, oh, I knew Dan was going to beat him anyway. He's a fantastic amateur. He had a brilliant boxing background. I'm like, no. Now we've got Ishii Smith, former IBF world champion. He's done bare knuckle. He's got bare knuckle experience. He's bigger than me. What are people going to say when I turn him over? Nothing. Because now I'm going to get the accreditation that I deserve from fighting top, top fighters. And that's what I want, Tom. That's all I ask for. I don't want to be fighting now. If I was in the beginning of my BKB career, Tom, I understand how it works. And I was. I jumped into the prize fighter tournament. The guys were weighing 76, 81 kilos, Tom.
Wow.
That's when Smudger Smith, Franco, James Kennelly, that's when the bare knuckle game changed.
Yes.
And I went in there weighing 65 kilo max. Jim, put me in a tournament. I went in, I can beat these guys. And again, people are not willing to do that. You know, and for me is the build up where I am. I've worked really hard, Tom, to get where I am, to go up and then beat James Kennelly, who's absolutely massive compared to me. And he's had over 60, 70 amateur fights, a very good boxer, and always fit. always fit, James. And that's how he's gone on to be a world champion now. Then gone on to beat Sean George, a multiple British world champion for BKB, a veteran in BKB. Now, and then that video went over and it over 3 million views on YouTube. Now it's put BKB right on the map. So then I beat these other guys in between to stay busy because people pulled out. And now I've got the fight that I deserve, is the Ishii Smith fight. And that's fantastic for me. That's fantastic for BKB. And for me, the fights are going to be so exciting for the fans because they are getting to see two world-class operators fight in a bare-knuckle ring.
So tell us what you're expecting in the ring. What are you expecting from Ishii Smith in the ring?
Mate, he's a natural talent. You understand? He's trained more times than people have had cooked dinners. You know what I mean? And what I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter if he comes in fit or unfit. The boy can still fight. The boy can still box. It comes natural to him. He's done it for so long. He's been at a high level for a long time. Things didn't work out in the end with Mayweather because he didn't market himself well. I remember watching him from a young kid. He's a little bit older than me. And I just remember watching him on The Contender. You know, all he's known in his life is the fight. And I respect that. And I don't think he understands how much of a talent I am because he's come from from the amateurs to the pro game. So he's just thinking I'm just like, you know, a guy who's in good shape, fast hand. But he doesn't understand, you know, I've been around world champions my whole life in the gym. So for me, this is the perfect fight for me to show really how good I am and I'll show and show my talent. And for Ishii Smith to come in and take the fight, which I'm really happy, it's just going to make a really, really interesting fight. You know, you've got someone with all the experience, with someone who's got the fitness, the amateur background, and the youth and the speed behind him. So it's one of those fights that, you know, tune in. It's just going to be a fantastic fight.
We can't wait, mate.
I'm really excited, Tom, just to see what Ishii brings to the table now.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's as I said, I think earlier, it could be the biggest fight ever in BKB history. It's looking good. And you've signed a new deal with BKB.
Yeah, I've signed a new contract. I'm speaking to Joe. I do a lot of my work with Joe. It is difficult for Joe because Joe tries to make a lot of things happen for me. And we talk about many things. And we just want the company to grow, which we do. And the way we're going with these fights are, if we need to compete with opposition like BKFC and other companies out there, we need to make fights like this happen. Not just with me, the likes of Jimmy Sweeney, James Kennelly, the ones who are left there, instead of us fighting in-house all the time. Because when we fight in-house, Tom, you know, we end up losing our fighters that way because the pride, the thought of, you know, coming back to your hometown and then you're being beaten by another guy who lives in the opposite town. It's that, isn't it? But now we've got a solid foundation of solid fighters, a high standard. Let's make top world-class opposition come in to fight us.
Yeah.
So we become a team now, not fighting against each other all the time. Do you understand?
And that can only be good for BKB.
Of course, the likes of me, Barry Jones, James Kennelly, Jimmy Sweeney. These are the names now can really put BKB on the map and bring top opposition in.
Yeah. And that's
if we are coming to the point now where we are fighting in-house fighters, we break our hands every fight, Tom. So when it comes to these opportunities to fight big names, we can't because we're still injured or we still need rest from the previous fights that we've had. Like us boys now, we've done all the in-house fighting. Do you understand? Now we need to make the big international fights, put BKB on the map, work globally, which we can.
Well, I know that Jim and Joe exactly have your view. And this is the start of it. Ishii Smith coming in is only the start of it. And I think that will happen. One of the things, all the boxers of BKB have had a journey that there's a story, but yours resonates with me a lot. You know, you were a kid, you were fighting from an early age, but you didn't know it. I mean, your upbringing was you know, almost brought me to tears when I was hearing about it. How bad was it as a young lad for you?
Yeah, do you know what, Tom? I'm really fortunate that I could grow up and now be able to talk about the things that happened when I was a child because, as you know, the influence you have as a sports person, I'm very lucky that I have a fantastic following on my Instagram and my boxing journey. A lot of people tune in because of my skills, and I'm in a great position to talk about masculinity, mental health. I'm in a great position to talk about motivation, bullying. And the number one subject is that being brought up through drugs and alcohol. You know, so for me, from a young age, to deal with having shit parents, and I shouldn't say that word because I understand as I grew up now that they were ill, they were sick. So for me, it's understanding that I've been through all those severe traumas in my life, that you can still turn out to be a successful young man and be positive, understand your trauma, deal with it, not brush it to the side, and run the things to get rid of these things that goes on into it, what we think in our mind. Be part of a sport or be part of something, a club, or you know, focus on a job opportunity, or just being a good dad, or just being a good mum. You know, all these things happen in our lives, and we just got to focus on the present. And sorry, Tom.
Sorry, I was just saying that for me, you know, a lot when I first heard it, and I'm being truthful with you now, I felt sorry for you. But then I suddenly realized, don't feel sorry for you. I think nobody should feel sorry. They should be inspired by the story.
Yeah, Tom, not a lot of people didn't know my story because when they look at Dan Chapman seems okay.
Yeah.
He's got his shit together, he's working, you know, he's got good structure, etc. He's healthy, he's fit. But at the end of the day, you know, for me to be this the way I am, you know, it's taken a lot of violence for me to be this calm. You know, I use that saying a lot. And I had to deal with that part. I didn't run away from it. I had to deal with it from a young age. I cut off what was toxic and stayed positive, Tom. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't let my background or my past display the man who I am today. I didn't let the mistakes that I have done every day from the time of being a young man, I didn't blame my past for those mistakes. I owned it, accepted it, and learned from it. And of course, boxing has helped, you know, me deal with many things. But even if I didn't go into the sport of boxing, I know that my mind would have 100% dealt with that, and I still would have been the man I am today because
for sure.
Of the way I think. I'm very positive. I'm very happy. When I have a really bad day, I'll find a small positive to make it a really fucking good day. And for me, as being a sports person now, I've been able to reflect to that. I've been speaking to schools. I've been working with dads who've had broken relationships with their children through drugs and alcohol. And I can talk about the depth conversation of what happens in these moments and what they go through. Because these people don't trust anybody. They don't trust the police. They don't trust social services. They don't trust psychologists. But when I talk about key points to drugs and alcohol, they go, he's right, you know, he's talking the truth because I know what he's saying there, I'm going through right now. And that is the difference. We can sympathize, and then there's other people like myself who can empathize, you know, and that's a massive difference. There's two different words to that and two different meanings. We all can say, oh, you know, I feel sorry for you, or I sort of understand, but they will never understand what we went through. So for me, even though I went through those things, I would still handle it different to somebody else who went through those things. But I can empathize with them, and they can give me the respect, and the guard can come down, and we can communicate, and we can talk.
Well, sure.
And we can get somewhere, and then we can be honest. And that is the key thing of dealing with past, is being honest with yourself, Tom.
The only person in the world you should be honest with is yourself. Always. I agree. Yeah. When did you decide? I mean, firstly, though, influences. Mary and Colin, your foster parents, they must have been a big influence for you.
Yeah, I'm not lying. When I cut what was bad in my life, my foster parents at the time, they were the only foster home that made me feel like their son. And at the time, I couldn't love them back, Tom, because I still had an attachment to my mum.
Yeah.
But when I cut that attachment off, and then I allowed them to love me, and that's when I could love them back. So that's when my life started, Tom. So from that moment, they taught me how to eat. They taught me how to be respectful. They taught me how to be they learned me how to be a young man, a young gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forever grateful for those people who were in my life at that time to produce who I am today. And yes, we've grown up and we've gone our separate ways, and we all live in our life in the fast lane. But if it wasn't for those people at that time, I don't think I'd be where I am right now.
You might not even be with us. You might be dead with all that going on.
I would have been dead in jail, Tom.
So when did you decide to be a fighter? Approach.
I was football crazy, Tom. I love football. I have no interest in boxing at all. I remember turning Joe Calzaghe over on ITV when he was free. But a local boxing gym opened in my local area in Glengwynry, and a gym hadn't been opened over 50 years, Tom. And I had so much energy when I was a young kid. I still do now. And I just went for the fitness, Tom, honestly. And the boxing coach there at the time, John Radmore, God bless him, he's passed away now,
Yeah.
and his wife Sonia, they opened a beauty, an amazing little boxing gym. And it starts off with 60 kids, as it does, and then it narrows right down to three or four. And I was one of the four. And my coach taught me all the fundamentals. And when my foster dad passed away, he became like a dad figure in my life at that time. I needed that. And he was an amazing man. And he built my confidence up, taught me the fundamentals. And he said, Dan, no, you were fast. You were so fast. And I'm from I went on to win national Welsh titles with him, British titles, Commonwealth Games. But from that day onwards, until I won a youth Commonwealth Games, that's when I realized I could do something with boxing. But
You
even though I
were
won national title, British title, when I won a youth Commonwealth, I beat Charlie Dickens in a final, who was the number one England boy at the time. He was a top fighter who's gone on and done amazing things in the pro world. When I won those youth Commonwealth Games in India, I realized that I can actually make a living on this. I can be a full-time fighter. And that's when things changed.
I'm looking. I know that you were due to be in the 2011 qualifiers for the Olympics, but you had an accident, and
Yeah.
that must have. Maybe I've got this wrong, but I seem to remember you telling me before. Were you told you couldn't fight again or something?
Yeah. Obviously, my life was totally concentrated on boxing. And I was so obsessed. I'm still obsessed. It's crazy. And no, I'd given up my whole life. I didn't have a childhood, Tom. So when I did have a childhood, I dedicated it to boxing. So when everybody else was going to play and partying with the girls, I was training two, three times a day.
Wow.
And I was talented. So even though I was talented, I never relied on my talent. I always trained like a poor man. So my attitude towards that, with training, being fit, and bringing that talent together, it was a special package then. So, leading up and being part of Team GB, the likes of Fraser Clark, Tom Stoger, Anthony Joshua, Luke Campbell, all these fantastic, Andrew Selby, all these fantastic fighters. We all sacrificed our life training 3 to 4 times a day, living every day up in Sheffield. And our coach at the time was Rob McCracken, as you already know.
Yeah, good balance, yeah.
And come to the final stage where it matters the most, where I was at the peak of my career, where I become the best version of myself. I become a phenomenal fighter. And at the time, I believed I could. Nobody in the world would beat me at the time. And then I had a severe motorcycle accident where I broke my femur in a really bad, in four or five different places. The doctor said my career was gone, finished in a matter of seconds. I never even walked out again, even no train.
Wow.
And I was 7, 8 years out of the game, Tom, and that's how I come into the bare knuckle world, So coming back now is such a blessing that I don't care about being a world champion, Tom, even though I am a world champion in bare knuckle sport. That was the motivation in the beginning. But now I don't care. It's just being in a position after giving my whole life, 20 years to boxing, just being able to express my skills and my talent at the world stage in bare knuckle boxing, and I just feel privileged to do that.
Were you working with vulnerable children as well? Or I seem to remember.
Before me coming back into the boxing scene, I thought I'd fill a gap because I wanted to work with children with behavior problems and disabilities, and I thought that would fill the gap. And I loved doing that because I had so much experience in that, of being a child through all these things and being through the foster care system and done all my extra training courses, building up and building relationships with these children. And I loved that. And I worked doing that for many years. And then I opened my own gym part-time. So I was full-time in the primary school, then running a gym in the evening. teaching boxing, and that's when I realized that even though I love working with the children, I realized I could be a full-time boxing coach. And I was an idiot thinking, why don't I just give back and teach everybody what I know? And that's what I did. I opened my own boxing gym. I had over 30, 40 fighters fighting for me in Wales, and brilliant fighters from our community. My community had nothing, Tom. So I come from a very deprived area, and to give back to the kids and get them off the streets was amazing. And also, I had a business of keeping people fit in the meantime, so that could fund me to do that. And that's what led me to Marbella. You know, everyone can see the work that I was doing, and then I had a job opportunity here in Marbella teaching boxing, and I am blessed that I could do that.
So just give us the a fighter's view on just how tough and dangerous bare-knuckle boxing is.
People don't understand, right? And this is why I'm not going to do what everybody else does and stand there toe to toe. Bare knuckle is so brutal. If people don't understand, people, when they come and watch the bare knuckle fight, and they don't see us what we like in the change rooms after the fight. And you look at all the fighters. If you want a documentary on bare knuckle boxers behind the scenes after the fight, a lot of people would have a shock, because we come back after the fight. We sit in the change rooms. We got our lip flapping, eyebrows flapping, hands broken. One of the guys, you know, from Wales, his name is Corey Healy. He come into the change room because I bought his ball protector for the fight in my last fight, and he come in and he was like this. And his hands were so bad. You know, he's not been able to wipe his ass for 3 months. Do you understand?
Yeah, for
And people
sure.
don't understand the brutality of the aftermath. A bare knuckle building up, it's no problem. We do. We warriors, we fighters. But when that adrenaline drops and everybody's gone home, and you sat in our change room with the little team members that are left, the ones who are going to carry you to the fucking taxi on the way home, it's we all in a bad, bad way, you know. And people just don't understand, you know, that we break our hands in five, six different places. People's jaws are broken, eye sockets snapped. Eyebrows flapping, lips, teeth falling out, all together in one. So they come after the fight and they're like this going home. And then they recover and they go back to the gym and we do it all again. People just don't understand the brutality behind it.
It takes a special type of
Yeah,
toughness and warrior to do it.
this is not for the faint-hearted. You think about it, right? This sport, bare knuckle, come from the haystacks, okay? But when the level started getting better, the likes, do you remember when the tournament started? The likes of Smudger,
Yeah, for
Franco,
sure. Yeah.
all of us, James Kennelly, myself. When this lot come into the bare knuckle world, you see how many of the old generation dropped off?
Yeah, gone. Yeah.
Because there they were having fights, it was a bit more scrappy, but the levels changed, Tom. These weren't now, leaving there with a broken nose or a bleeding lip. Level has changed. Now you're going to leave there with a broken eye socket, broken nose, and a broken jaw in one night. So people don't understand when the levels change, it doesn't matter how tough you are, how game you are. When you see the levels of the sport change and you're thinking, fuck, I'm not going in the ring with him. No chance.
Yeah.
Because years ago, everybody had a puncher's chance. Now, us bare-knuckle fighters, we are full-time athletes now.
And skillful.
When do you see now the bare-knuckle with someone coming in with a belly? You don't see that no more.
No.
Do you remember when they were doing Coventry shows back in the day? Everyone had a belly.
It was like that.
It was, did you understand? Now,
For
we are
sure.
full-time athletes. Now, if you don't train hard enough, you're going to get found out in there. And that is the
And
difference.
I think you've shown as well, and James and a few others, that the technical side as well is improving, the technical side of boxing.
100%, mate. Look at James have gone on. He's gone out. He fought in America. Barry Jones have done it. He's gone out to America and Thailand. Now that's what I'm trying to say. We don't want to fight in-house how to fighters now. We're just starting off into that toughness mentality. We've gone past that, Tom. We want opposition that's going to make us hungry to go to the gym. You understand? And the real fighters like myself will want that. We'll not fight unless you give us that.
For sure.
I can't get turned on, Tom, right? If you're gonna put something that's not gonna, open my eyes and think, oh, if I'm going to go into this fight and think I'm going to knock this guy out anyway, you know, I'll take my training for granted. And I love training, but I'm going to take things a lot easier. But when you put someone like Ishii Smith in front of me, I wake up every day hungry. I'm ready now. I was ready 6 weeks ago for Ishii Smith.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Jim and Joe, they have a lot of faith in you. What does the future hold? Could you fight at different weights, or are you always going to fight at the weight you are?
No, for me, I've taken a big risk, right, on fighting a 69 kilo, you know. I mean, you could understand anybody around 75 to 78 kilos can come down and make 69 kilo. So they are giants compared to me, and I've done my bit of fighting a 69 kilo. I said to Jim and Joe, you know, give me that big fight at 69 kilo, and then I want to be a world champion at a different weight, at my own weight. So that is the plan, you know, for me is my luck will run out one day if I keep fighting big guys, you know. I'd be honest, even though I know how talented I am, but the brutal sport of bare knuckle boxing, that I can't keep giving away a lot all that weight, you know. So I'd like to fight the 66 kilo. That's perfect for me. I walk around at that weight anyway. And I feel strong, I feel fit to that weight. And I actually, I'm a better boxer at that weight. So when I come up to 68, like I am now, I'm weighing 68 kilo now, believe it or not. That's heavy for me. I am carrying a lot more power. I feel strong. But my ability-wise boxing, when I'm down to 66, it's like pouring water into a glass. My movement is perfection then. And that's what I want to do. I want to see if we can create big fights at 66 kilo, Tom. And that is the plan, you know. I spoke to Jim and Joe. They know that BKFC have been knocking the door for me, and I've stayed loyal. And they've even offered me triple the salary, Tom, honestly.
Wow.
And I've stayed loyal, and I've stayed with BKB.
Well,
you know, I've signed a two-year contract, and I just hope Jim and Joe sees that loyalty.
Oh, I can vouch for that. Listen, let me vouch for that. I know from personal experience.
Tom, they've all said it, Tom. Every one of them said it. You know, Franco, El Tornado, what's his name? He was an idiot. He done it. James Lilly signed over. All of them have signed over. And me and James Canelli from that team, and Jimmy Sweeney, and Barry Jones, we're the only ones who haven't.
Oh,
you know, so the thing is, the ones who've stayed loyal, and look at the talent, the ones who haven't, we could have easily signed over, easily. And we haven't, we stayed with BKB. So I just hope they can keep producing the fights for us, and we can keep putting BKB on the map.
Do you fancy America, Thailand, Kazakhstan? Do you fancy fighting abroad?
They've offered me to fight in Thailand after the Ishii Smith fight. But as you know, Tom, I don't look above any fight. I focus on the Ishii Smith fight. Then after that fight, we go from there.
Listen, it's a pleasure talking to you. Always, always enjoy the chats. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the O2. As a commentator, myself, Robin Reed, I know, and Robin Black, we are buzzing for this fight. Honestly, buzzing for this fight. We can't wait. So we look forward to seeing you on the next. Listen, thanks for being part of the BKB podcast, pal. Always a pleasure talking to you. Listen, folks listening, if you love what you've heard, leave a review. Good, bad, or indifferent, I don't mind. It's the BKB official podcast. Leave your review. Thank you so much. And good luck, Dan. We'll see you soon, mate. Top class. Cheers, pal.
Thanks for your time, and I'll see you on September 16th. Well,